Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. Merry Christmas. Turn to your neighbor and say, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Now look around you and see how many smiles you see. You can't say Merry Christmas without having a smile on your face if you're a child of God. Amen? It is a glorious time for Christians to celebrate the birth of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, our Savior. I just about guarantee you that no one in here or in the contemporary service looked at their neighbor and said, Happy Holidays. You think so? I don't think so. Merry Christmas is about the birth of Jesus, the Savior. You know, the angel announced to the shepherds, and to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Jesus is born. Today is an exciting time for me. I don't know how exciting it is for you, but it marks for me the beginning of the week of prayer for international missions. And if you know anything about me, you know that's where my heart beats. I love missions. I love the opportunity to lead missions here at Pleasant Valley South Baptist Church, and am overwhelmed at times how God has used us to take the gospel to the very far corners of the earth. Isn't that amazing? God is an awesome God, and to see God using us to proclaim His message, that's the greatest blessing that we have. You know, for us, Christmas and the Lighting Moon Christmas offer for international missions go together like Christmas gifts and wrapping paper. It's just part of who we are as Southern Baptists. But you know, I realize that maybe some of our members, and quite possibly any that might be our guests today, have never heard of Lighting Moon. And they say, what is all of this talk about Lighting Moon and what does that mean? So I look back in the archives of the International Mission Board, and I found a video that was made 3 years ago, and it tells us a little bit about Lottie's life and also about how she has a connection with the international missions movement that is carrying the gospel all over the world. So let's look at this video together.
I pray that no missionary will ever be as lonely as I have been. Here I am, working alone in a city of many thousand inhabitants, with numberless villages clustered around or stretching away. How many can I reach? Please say to the new missionaries that they are coming to a life of hardship, responsibility, and constant self-denial.
I wanted to do whatever I could do to ensure that my time would be focused on Jesus.
A young man should ask himself not if it is his duty to go to the lost, but if he may dare stay at home.
So when the opportunity came and said, we will support you and help you share Jesus at a place that's halfway around the world, I said, that sounds like the best possible thing that can happen.
And for the longest time, I just started praying, do you want me to live overseas? And I remember just a clear yes, like, this is where I want you to go.
My memory was haunted by the words of Scripture, that no man take thy crown.
As time went by, the work was so hard.
It seemed to me that here was a woman doing the work of some young man among our churches in America who ought to be here.
I couldn't help but wonder someday, is there somebody out there back home that isn't listening to this call?
If the joy of the Lord be their strength, the blessedness of the work will more than compensate for its hardships.
You have such a love and burden for the people that there's a certain amount of trust that you have to give away to God, and it's hard to do that sometimes, to let go.
Let them come, rejoicing to suffer for the sake of that Lord and Master who freely gave his life for them.
I want to give them this. I want to share with them what God has done in my life, how he changed me.
The needs of these people press upon my soul. And I cannot be silent.
Real name was Charlotte Diggs Moon. As the video said, she served 40 years as one of our first foreign missionaries to the country of China. She gave her life. She spent her life for the Chinese people. She loved them so much. And if you would ask any of our Awana kids here, because we have a missions emphasis every month in Awanas, and we talk every year beginning in October about Lottie Moon and who she was. If you'll ask them, they'll tell you that Lottie loved the Chinese people so much that she actually starved herself to death when a famine hit the country of China after a war there. And she would take the food that she would normally eat and gave it to those who were going hungry. Lottie got so weak that they had to put her on her ship to send her back to the United States. And while that ship was docked in Kobe, Japan, on Christmas Eve in 1912, Lottie went home to be with the Lord. So we know that the kind of life that she lived, the kind of dedication that Lottie had to serving her Lord Jesus Christ, is an example to all of us. In honor of Lottie, in 1918, what was then called the Foreign Mission Board, the International Mission Board now, they named the annual offering after Lottie Moon. And so that's what we do every year during the week of prayer. We talk about our missionaries, and then we challenge you to ask God how he would lead you to give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, of which every penny goes to support our missionaries serving all over this world. So I invite you to take your Bible this morning and turn to the Gospel of Mark. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. Mark 16, we're going to be looking at verses 15 and 16 of Mark 16. Once you've located that passage, I invite you to stand with me as we honor the reading of God's Word this morning. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. I've titled the message this morning, Embracing Christ's Great Commission. Notice, first of all, the responsibility for the Great Commission. This is the Great Commission as recorded by Mark. Now, you may have a note in your Bible referring to this section of Scripture, verses 9 through 20 of Mark 16, telling you that it was not found in the earliest Greek manuscript. So Bible scholars believe that sometime it was added afterward. And so people say, well, should we really see that and honor that as being Scripture? We just believe that God, in his divine sovereignty and in his purpose, has made sure that this passage has been saved for us so that we can look at it today. Dr. John MacArthur says, because we have no evidence to refute what is in this passage, then it needs to stay, and we need to honor it as God's word. So we're going to look at it this morning as Mark's retelling, if you will, or in his own words, giving us the Great Commission. Now, if we look in Matthew, in Mark's gospel, it's hard for us to understand where the responsibility for carrying the Great Commission lies. Who is responsible? If you look over to Matthew, and of course that's the Great Commission as we are familiar with, it becomes clear who is to go. In Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, he says, Go ye therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. So Matthew, the Lord says through Matthew, go ye. Who is ye? Ye is me and ye is you. Okay? It's a call to all of us as believers to take the gospel, the good news, and take it to share it with people who've never heard. And there are people all over this world who've never heard the good news of the gospel. So we are all called, have the great responsibility to ask God how he wants us to be a part of the Great Commission. It's a call to go. Now look also at there's a video here. And this video shows us. Now let me tell you something about this message, okay? I want this to be about our missionaries. And so I certainly want it to be biblically based, which it is, but I want you to see so much about what our missionaries are doing that sometimes I get kind of in a hurry because I want to share some things with you as well. But the focus this morning is not on me, it's on what God is doing through our missionaries and how you can be a part of that. So I want you to look at this video, and it shows us how God calls all of us from every walks of life to be involved in his mission work.
How can I make sure that what I do as a physician demonstrates the love of God and the mercy of God and the hope of God? From an early point in my childhood, I can remember watching the first moon landing on a black and white TV and thinking, I want to do that job. So I just pursued that. Then was able to get into an aerospace medicine residency program to work for NASA as a flight surgeon, providing health care for the astronauts and their families. It really was a dream come true. But in many ways, my identity was not as a follower of Jesus Christ, but my identity had become, I'm a flight surgeon working for NASA. I really didn't think that I would leave NASA. God said, you need to make a choice. It was in our living room. I was saying to God, this job is cool, but I don't need it. I need you. Whatever you want to do, I'm ready.
When he finally came to me and told me that this is what he felt called to do, I just said, I've been waiting.
God moved us to the country of Uganda, where we served for 12 and a half years. From there, moved south to Lesotho, and then God brought us to Kigoma Baptist Hospital, where we've been serving for the last 7 years. In Western Tanzania. It literally is at the end of the road because we're right on the Lake Tanganyika. God has placed us in an area that is predominantly Islamic. Healthcare in our part of the world, there is a great limitation on resources that are available. We have patients that are admitted with severe malaria, dysentery. Every year we have an outbreak of cholera. We don't have the adequate numbers of resources and personnel on the field to be able to meet all the needs.
But we have partnerships with a number of different churches and on various levels.
When a church comes in and partners with us to provide that kind of care, it literally changes the people's lives, both physically but also spiritually. Using healthcare strategies is like a key that opens the door to get into a village that we might not have access to. Not far outside of the town that we live in is a small village.
Completely unreached on the fringes of town.
We met with local leaders and we asked permission to come to that village and do a week-long medical dental eye clinic. Through that opportunity, God used that to start a new church plant.
That village has been a huge impact.
Growing in their faith in Jesus Christ and being discipled. Just this past week, one person came and repented and said, no, I need this Jesus. The kingdom of light is coming in Tanzania, bursting through the darkness like we've never seen before.
You're going to receive a prayer guide such as this when you leave today. I urge you to take it and read the devotion for each day. You'll notice that today, day one, is on Larry Pepper. You know, we think about when God calls, we say that God calls everyone. We think about common folks like us. God calls flight surgeons for NASA to go on the mission field. Think of the sacrifice, but his sacrifice is not any greater than any of the others. God calls all of us to sacrifice, to be willing to go and do whatever he calls. So the responsibility then for the Great Commission is for all of us to be willing to go. Next, we see the range of the Great Commission. Jesus commands in Mark 16:15 that we go into all the world. We go into all the world. The theme of this year's Lottie Moon Christmas offering is every church, every nation. And in other words, every church, every Southern Baptist church involved in the Great Commission through the International Mission Board and taking it to every nation. And that's what we have the opportunity to do through the International Mission Board and our missionaries that go. Every Southern Baptist church, every Christian needs to be committed to take the gospel to the nations. Notice how Acts 1:8, turn to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. This also is a restatement of the Great Commission in Matthew 28. But in Acts 1:8, Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, he had this to say. Now when In verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. In other words, as outlined here by the Lord, we are to begin where we are. We are to begin at home and then be willing to take that gospel to the very uttermost areas of the world. We shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Another video I want you to see. This is a church in the Pacific Northwest. And this tells a story about how they have found a very unique way to be involved in the Great Commission.
There's a theme here that whenever I put myself out and I say, okay, God, I don't know how this is going to turn out, but every single time I take a step on mission, you seem to show up in a really compelling way. Resonate Church began 10 years ago as a campus ministry that turned into a collegiate church at Washington State University. Our desire is to plant churches on college campuses across the Northwest and across Canada as well. So every summer we have 2 dozen to 40 students that are headed over to East Asia. And they are on campus, they're learning the language, they're integrating into the lives of East Asian students, and they're there being missional, sharing the gospel. Our staff members that are in East Asia long-term continue the discipleship with these East Asian students. And they ultimately deploy them back to the campus to be leaders. It's a beautiful situation. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. To understand God and to understand Jesus best is to see them as missionary actors in this entire narrative. So that begins to permeate through our church. It's our belief that what we do in East Asia allows us to be able to do what we do in Boise and in these college towns and in these church plants. If they go across the world, it's more likely they'll go across the street. What we want to be is a church that goes after those people who have no background in Christianity. And as people begin to read their Bible and they see Jesus as the sent one to us and then telling us to be sent ones to the rest of the world, they actually begin to believe that. And they're so easy to deploy on mission. And so this is what I love about the Northwest and about the spiritual climate here, is that it's so easy to be able to say, okay, this is what it looks like to be radically sent. We've got to be a sent people. And if that sent people can kind of begin to be the normative of our church, then what you begin to have is the beginnings of a movement.
So we've seen the responsibility of the Great Commission, the range of the Great Commission. Thirdly, we have the requirements of the Great Commission. The Lord says, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. The Greek is euangelion, and it means good message or good news. It's a very simple command, isn't it? Preach the good news. It's amazing what is being preached from pulpits today that's being disguised as the good news. I think the Lord tells us, keep it simple. Keep it direct. Keep it pointed. Keep it focused. It's all about me. It's not about you. Because He's the only one that changes lives. Amen? He's the only one that can cause a person who is dead and lost and on their way to eternity, separated from holy God, and can radically change their life from the inside and make them a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's what He does. We're called to preach the simple gospel. You know, the good news is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. You know, there's too much today tickling of the ears. You know, Paul told Timothy that day would come, didn't he? He said there will be the time that will come when they will gather together those who will tickle their ears. In other words, tell them things that make them feel good about themselves. You know, there's preachers today that says, listen, I've got to be careful about what I say from the pulpit. I don't want to offend someone. I heard one on TV one time, and he says, I never preach on the blood of Christ because that's offensive. What? But that's being preached. The church doesn't need to hear the latest joke. The church doesn't need to hear all this happening around us except what God is doing. Amen? That's the gospel, that Jesus is the only one can save. He's the only one that can change lives. Paul said when he wrote to the church at Corinth, he said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come to you with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. I determined not to know anything. Listen to this. I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's all they need to know. Jesus Christ, Him crucified, His death, an atoning sacrifice on the cross to pay for your sins. He did what we can't do for ourselves and no one else can do for us. Amen? That's what Jesus did, and that should be our message. That same Paul strongly advised his son in the faith and young protege Timothy, who pastored the church at Ephesus. In 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, he said, I charge you therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teachings. Pretty simple, isn't it? Preach the word. The gospel is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, folks, the world is perishing around us. We need to proclaim the gospel. That's all that's important. That's all they need to hear. Because when we are obedient to proclaim the gospel, the Holy Spirit of God takes that gospel and He impacts lives. He makes people realize that they're sinful and that they're going to have to pay for their sins. But Jesus, because He loved you so much, He paid for your sin, paid in full. And when you by faith accept the fact that He died for you, you confess your sins, ask Him to cleanse you of your sin and come in to be the Lord and Savior of your life, you're saved, you're born again. That's the gospel. Preach the word, Paul told Timothy. That's the requirements, to preach the gospel. And then we see the recipients of the Great Commission. It says, every creature. Every creature, in other words, every human being on the face of the earth needs to hear the gospel. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I want you to think about this. Do you really believe that someone, even though they've never heard the gospel, and they die without Christ, are going to hell? Do you really believe that? That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, Paul said in Romans, that there's enough revelation of God in creation to draw someone to Him. No one has an excuse. Do you really believe that the Jew who refuses to accept Christ as his Savior and dies in his sin goes to hell? Or do you believe there's a special plan for Jewish people? The Bible says, Jesus said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, Jew, Gentile, whoever, no one comes to the Father except by me. Do you believe that? I believe if we really did believe it, we would get more excited and more committed to taking the gospel, the good news, to the lost world. I'm not sure we'd believe it. The gospel is to be taken to every creature. That's why it takes all of us to be involved. And you know, you've heard the statistics. One tenth of all believers ever share the gospel with someone else, and only 5% ever lead anyone to Christ. That's shameful. But it's for all of us, every one of us, to be involved. Through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, of which 100% goes to support our, listen to this, 3,692 missionaries serving around the world, we can multiply our gospel witness tenfold or 20-fold or 100-fold. Because, see, they're reaching people that we'll never meet. And God is equipping them to carry out that great commission. Notice in verse 16 of Mark 16, the responses to the great commission. When we are obedient to share the gospel, there will be only two responses. Some will believe and some will not believe. Did you know there's no straddling the fence when it comes to what we do with Jesus? And you know, that's the life question. What did you do with the gospel, with the good news? What did you do when it was presented to you? What did you do? Did you believe or did you not believe? That's the two choices. Let me remind you of something, because the call is for us to share. Raise your hand if you know you're not responsible for the results. That'll free you, folks. That will free you. If you don't believe it's up to you to save someone, then just freely share. We can't save anyone, can we? God forbid what the person would look like that Billy Frick saved. Only Christ can save. Only his shed blood pays for their sins. We're not responsible for the results. And finally, we see the results of the Great Commission. Those who believe and are baptized will be saved. Those who don't believe will be condemned. Now, let me stop right here, because somebody's going to say, that teaches baptismal regeneration. In other words, baptism is a part of salvation. No, it doesn't, because it doesn't say that they're condemned for not being baptized. It says they're condemned for not believing, right? Did you hear that? It's not the fact they weren't baptized. Jesus told the thief on the cross what? Let me come down off of this cross and baptize you, and then you'll be with me today in paradise. He didn't say that, did he? He said what? Today. Today you will be with me in paradise. Is it important to be baptized? Yes, it is. It's a command of the Lord. It's the first step of obedience for us as new believers. But it's not part of your salvation. So that's not what Mark is saying here. The results of our IMB missionaries sharing the gospel. Listen to this. In 2016, and if you gave to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, you were part of this. Listen to this. 45,256 people believed and were baptized. We have a part in that great gathering of the lost. Listen to this. 4,550 new churches were started all over the world as a result of the work of our missionaries. This last video is certainly close to my heart. It tells the story of a young man in Kyiv, Ukraine, who came to know Christ after a very terrible tragedy in his life. And this video tells the story. Watch it with me, please.
Він працював в мене таксистом, і він розводив різних людей. І він одного разу ввіз трьох молодих хлопців. Вони почали хамати, вони почали угрожати. І так як у мого тата були з самого початку проблеми з серцем, і мій тато побіг до машини, щоб випити таблетки, але він не встиг, і він помер прямо на місці. У мене були хороші стосунки з батьком, і це було важко почути.
When I first met Oleg, his dad just died, and I invited him to the youth group in our church. After a couple months being in youth group, he started praying to God, and then he prayed and accepted God.
І це було неймовірне відчуття, коли ти покаєшся і приймаєш Ісуса. Я зростав, я починав вже повністю читати Біблію, старався більше дізнаватись цікавого. І тут так само, неочікувано для мене, так само знову ж був переломний момент. В самі ранку я встаю, і я чую, що мамі погано, і вона кричить на допомогу. І я підбігаю, і мама була дуже гаряча, і це була ужасна картина для мене. Вона щось хотіла мені сказати, і в той момент вона померла.
Got the news about Oleg's mom death. It was devastating. Through the love from the church, through the love from the God, he kept his faith. He's still in the church. He involved in the ministry. He involved in the Ukrainian Baptist Theological Seminary program for young leaders. And God gave him peace and encouragement. And God gave him healing through his love.
Коли я втратив своїх батьків, він відкрився мені як батько, і він дав мені церкву як маму.
Ім'я Отця і Сина і Святого Духа. Амінь.
І літом недавно я прийняв хрещення, я поступив в семінарію. І я дуже радий, що я маю такого небесного батька.
I've had the privilege to visit the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Kyiv, Ukraine. It is such a blessing to see how God is using that seminary, supported by your giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, to train up future Christian leaders in that country. Just a personal note here that many of you are aware of the recent developments in Ukraine have resulted in martial law being declared in all the provinces that border the Russian border, the Russian country. Kharkiv, where we do ministry, Krasnograd, where we do ministry, they're in that area. The latest satellite images show that Russia is amassing its troops and equipment on the Russian border. Kharkiv is 30 miles from the Russian border. You know how long it would take troops to get to Kharkiv once they cross the line? An hour or two. We have 5 missionaries serving in Ukraine now, and 4 of them are in Kharkiv. Linda Gray is one that we work with on a regular basis. Linda is a part of a prayer meeting. I think I've shared this with you before, but after Russia came in and took over Crimea, annexed Crimea, the Christians in Kharkiv began having a daily prayer on the square there. When it first began, there was a statue of Stalin right there, and they were in the shadow of that statue. About a year after that, that statue was pulled down. It's no longer there. But they're still meeting. Today, when they met, and there's snow on the ground, it was 10 degrees this morning. Today marks 1,737 consecutive days of prayer in the square in Kharkiv, Ukraine. Every time I go there, I tell our missionaries and those Christians that have been a part of that, I said, it's just like God has had his hand of protection over the city of Kharkiv because of your commitment to pray. It's got down to, at times, 3 or 4, sometimes as many as 40 or 50. but they've been committed to that. Linda Gray is a big part of that. And again, she is supported by your giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Well, regardless of whether it is given by Mark, Matthew, or Luke in Acts chapter 1:8, the Great Commission is for all believers. We know that. But again, I think we fail to realize just what it means to be involved in that, and fail to realize that a person who does not know Christ is going to depart from this life and be separated from Him for all eternity in a literal hell. You know, it should be an honor for us to have been chosen by the Lord Himself to share the greatest news that's ever been told, the gospel. You know, God could have done this any way He chose, but He chose us. He chose us to be the ones that would share that good news. Just think about His first disciples. If they had dropped the ball, if they had not been obedient to carry the gospel, Christianity could have died there in the first century. They were obedient. Those who they led to the Lord were obedient. The gospel continued to spread. The persecution just made it flourish. God is still at work, folks, and we have the greatest opportunity ever been offered to a group of people to take His gospel to a foreign land and to take it all over the world. We should consider it an honor to be given the opportunity to financially support the ministry of those almost 3,700 sold-out servants of the Lord. You know, we think we make sacrifices for Christ. We ain't got a clue. We ain't got a clue. These folks, some in even worse, much worse conditions than those that they're undergoing in Ukraine at this time, but they daily, daily share the gospel and seek to win those to Christ. I challenge you to take one of these prayer guides. It's going to be given you when you leave this morning, and pray daily. And I don't even want you to be concerned about what you're going to give in this week of prayer. Just be praying, reading those, studying about our missionaries, reading about those, seeing the ministry that they're involved in, praying for them, and then begin praying about how God would want you to give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering this year. Our goal this year is $23,000. Ever since I've been here, we have met or exceeded our goal. And I fully believe that God is going to use you to do the very same thing this year. It's not a time for us to drop back. It's not a time for us to stop giving, because the need is greater than it's ever been. I challenge you. The offering envelopes will be available to you next week, next Sunday. So I just want you to take a prayer guide, pray for our missionaries. And you know, as we look at all we've looked at this morning, if you're here and you're lost, you've never trusted Jesus, all this talk about the Great Commission, God's call in our life and our responsibility, that doesn't make a bit of sense to you. The most important thing for you to know right now is that Jesus Christ loved you. He loved you enough to die on the cross. He loved you enough to suffer humiliation, pain, and anguish like no other human being has ever suffered, going to a cross, being nailed to a cross, shedding His blood so that you might be forgiven. The Bible says, for all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It says that the wages of that sin is death. It also says that God commendeth His love towards us, and that while we were still in our sin, Christ died for us. And in Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. As we have this time of invitation, I encourage you, if you've never trusted Jesus, that you come this morning. We'll have ministers here at the front to receive you and to share with you what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. If you may be here and you're just troubled in your spirit, you just need to come and pray this morning, we invite you to come. You may be here and you've been a guest in our church for quite some time, and God is leading you to become a part of this church body, we invite you to come and join us as well. But I'm going to ask you to stand very reverently and quietly, and after our prayer, we're going to have our time of invitation.